So I rang the bell with some reluctance. And I wonder if maybe we should be, maybe it is being recorded. Yeah, I think that all these things are being recorded, but not through Zoom. So anyway, I was reluctant to speak and to ring the bell. It was so nice to be sitting in silence. And maybe I was influenced a bit by this being an experienced student's retreat. And I mean, how could I improve on silence? And I hope that the words that we speak, Inez and I, Tanya, that they will be support your inner silence rather than your inner noise. That somehow the way you practice, the way you engage in your awareness practice, your mindfulness, supports your chatter in your mind to get quieter, calmer, stiller, and that you're moving into a kind of sweetness of an inner quietude. And it's not automatic, of course, but over time, I hope that these words and these teachings will contribute to that. So welcome to the retreat. And this we take this to be the formal beginning. And the welcome is heartfelt. The welcome is really a wish for everyone who's here to feel like this can be your temple for this time, or your home, or your a place where it has a certain kind of specialness, sacredness, where all of you is allowed to be held and included and accepted in this field of awareness, in this field of compassion and mutual care that we maybe have here in this retreat. And we have we live in a world where many people are not included, and are told, given the message that they don't belong, or that who they are is not accepted. And it's certainly our heartfelt wish that we are completely opposite to that, that this is a place that its purpose is inclusion. The purpose is to allow everyone to come as they are, and then through that, find some inner peace and well-being and freedom. So sometimes, so it's nice to specify that no matter what your gender, recognizing there are many genders, whatever your gender is, you're welcome. Whatever your race, ethnicity might be, you're welcome here, all of you, as you are. Whatever your religion and politics, you're welcome. Whatever your language you speak, you're welcome. Whatever your abilities are, your gifts are. I like to think of what sometimes is called as, I don't know what, disabilities, or just different kind of ableism, different kind of ability, maybe a gift. But whoever you are, whatever your age, whatever your body size is, whatever your educational level, whatever your police record might be, whatever it is that you have, you want to feel, you want to really have this a place where you can be yourself and feel accepted for who you are. And with that, we find our way. We find our way in Dharma. We find the path. And I feel so strongly that the path, the Dharma path, doesn't exist in books. It doesn't exist in the teachings that a teacher teaches, no matter how good those teachings are. The Dharma path is found in each person who walks it. And so we walk it with all of who we are. So this idea of accepting who we are is the entryway to then be able to, with all of who you are, to walk that path, to find the path, to discover the path, to make the path for yourself. So all of you, everyone, welcome. The theme for the retreat is clear comprehension. And the Pali word is sampajana. And it's often appears in the suttas together with the word sati, as a almost like it looks like a compound word. So there's no difference. There's no kind of hard separation between sati, which is usually translated as mindfulness, and sampajana, translated as clear comprehension. So you know, mindful clear comprehension is kind of like one big thing. And it points to that these, what it points to in part is that we have many capacities for attention. And we're using all of them when we follow the path of attention, the path of mindfulness, of awareness. And different attentional capacities are used at different times. But one of the really key ones, important ones for mindfulness practice is in fact this basic, simple human capacity we have to know what's happening. But even that might be saying it too in a too complicated way, because knowing can be all kinds of things. But so I like to translate sampajana sometimes as clear recognition. The simple act of recognizing what this, not the interpretation of the present moment experience, not the story that's it's part of, not how it fits in the middle of the past and the future and the value of it even so much, but rather the simplicity of a capacity to recognize. Right now I hear the fan on my computer going, so clear recognition of hum. There's lights on next to me here, and clear recognitions of the light. Clear recognition that some of the tiles that I'm looking at for you, some of them are completely dark. Some of them have strong lights as part of them. Some of them have people in them. Some of them don't. So I see these different things. You know, it's very simple, clear recognition of light, dark, shadow, person, rectangle, hum, the sound of my voice as I speak, the movement of my mouth as I speak, the movement. So it's very simple. And the simplest form of clear comprehension is a capacity for clear recognition. And that capacity is classically used in Vipassana practice to support our capacity to get still, quiet, support our capacity to develop the clarity that goes with clear comprehension, where we can begin to clearly see, clearly perceive, sense, observe what's happening. And clear means that a lot of the noise is gone, a lot of the ways in which we make it more complicated by analyzing it, figuring it out, judging it, making stories around it. The ways in which we associate it with me, myself, and mine. We associate it with all these ideas of I. But to the clear comprehension that is so simple that allows the complexities of our life to begin to settle into a simplicity. Not to become a simple-minded person, but to become a person who can see clearly without the distortions of all the complications and the noise that goes on in the mind. And so at various phases of practice, the kind of attention we use in mindfulness practice shifts. And there are some times when using clear recognition might be the perfect thing for you. For beginners, sometimes it's just so clarifying and simple and direct and such a relief that all you have to do is recognize the obvious. The most obvious thing in the moment, you recognize, oh, that's what it is, the hum of the computer. The feeling of a stomach being full. The pressure of my butt against my cushion. The little stretch of my elbow as my wrist as I move my wrist right now. It doesn't have to be more complicated than that. And sometimes for beginners, it can be such a relief that you have permission to keep it that simple. And sometimes for beginners, any instructions to know, to recognize, immediately makes the whole thing much more complicated than it needs to be. They get pulled into analysis and trying to figure out what's the right word and all this stuff. And so it's all situational, which attentional faculty we use. The beginner might find it easier to just do observation, quiet observing of experience without any words at all. Sometimes people will find that the clear recognition, a nice expression of it or support for it, is mental noting, which is a more emphatic way of recognizing something. And that helps that simplicity and clarity to be there. Sometimes we find that it's not. Sometimes people find that there's a period of time where it's best not to recognize anything, no words, no cognitive functioning, just kind of very still, quiet, kind of maybe observing is maybe the best word, or being with is the best word. And then later, as practice deepens, it becomes important to know again. And you might discover that the simplest, lightest touch of knowing, clear recognition, does something to the mind that allows the mind to get more concentrated, more still, more focused. And it makes the practice be onward going again, going further than just a being, just resting in being. So clear recognition is used at different phases of practice. It's a very important part of practice. It's a very important capacity of the mind. It's a completely ordinary capacity of the mind. Everyone has it. For you to head to a door, to open the door, you have clear recognition that's a door. That's a door handle. It's just that you're not telling yourself that. It happens kind of an automatic pilot, kind of offline almost, the recognition. But your mind is doing the cognitive work of recognizing door handle. And so we're taking this very ordinary capacity and somehow refining it, opening it up, applying it, staying close to it, staying close and being continuous with this radical simplicity of just recognize just this, just now. So that's how the word clear comprehension is more understood in relationship to the Buddha's teachings on mindfulness. Later, hundreds of years maybe after the Buddha, the commentaries came up with a list of the four kinds of clear comprehension. And sometimes the commentaries make things more complicated than it needs to do, and sometimes they are helpful, and sometimes it can be both. And the commentaries list four kinds of clear comprehension. They are clear comprehension of a purpose, clear comprehensions of what's suitable, what's appropriate, clear comprehension of the posture, and clear comprehension of non-delusion. And this all has to do with the practice. So clear comprehension of the purpose of your practice, clear comprehension of what's suitable for that purpose, what is a suitable way of practicing, clear comprehension of what the domain, what the pasture, what the field in which we practice in, and then clear comprehension of non-delusion. And to have some reflection about this, some consideration, can be supportive, to have some clarity about this. Because once we have a little bit more clarity around these things, it might help the mind to become quieter, stiller, a little bit more ordered, a little bit more like it knows what it's doing. It's not chaotic, it's not at sea, lost, kind of swimming. And it kind of grounds it or settles something. And that's so what we're going to do in this retreat is go through these different ideas of clear comprehension. So the plan for now, at least, is for tomorrow to have a talk on this first type, clear recognition. And then there's next 4 days on these four types, purpose, suitability, pasture, and non-delusion. And because this is an experienced students retreat, we hope that you can take these in a way that doesn't cause a lot of discursive thinking about them, but maybe you can get a feeling, a sense of how having a recognition leads to this kind of sweet inner silence or stillness, how purpose can do that for you, how doing the suitable practice quiets things down, knowing the pasture, knowing the place in which we do practice supports that as well. And then non-delusion, I hope. The delusion is one of the great noises in the mind, so non-delusion is the quieting of the delusion, the noise. So that's kind of the main thing I can say now about the theme of the retreat. And I think that I'd like to believe that when people have done a fair amount of mindfulness practice, it's helpful to begin distinguishing different types of attention, different attentional faculties that we have, to recognize when the different ones are useful at different times. And one of the key ones is this clear comprehension. So in this retreat, that's what we'll mostly focus on, and hopefully you'll come to appreciate it's the role of clear comprehension in the practice of mindfulness and concentration and liberation. So that's the plan. And I look forward to it. And I just love this mindfulness practice and sitting and becoming still and quiet and feeling the Dharma inside. So I'm looking forward to this week together, and I hope that the teachers can support you the best we can. And we'll start seeing you on day after tomorrow, practice discussion. We'll say more about it then. Tomorrow is meant to be a day a little more quiet, settling into the practice. So thank you for being here. We've now begun our journey. And to have the right, suitable, purposeful, support for that journey, we have the refuges and the precepts. And Tanya will talk about the refuges a little bit, and then Inez will do the precepts. And then we'll end, and some of us will go to bed. Some of us will maybe just be waking up around the world. So Tanya.
Thank you, Gil. Yeah. I'm sitting here just noticing in my background, I have Patachara and this landscape, right, of a beautiful hill. And it really inspired me. It made my heart warm to think about we're going to do the chant the refuges. And this is such an ancient practice, and the setting and Patachara and the land here just helps me feel very, very close to the Buddha. And I'm going to share my screen, and so that you can all read along, since this is a experienced practitioner's retreat. We thought that we, instead of doing call and response, we could all chant together. So I'm going to take a minute to really connect with my heart as I just rest my eyes on the words and what they mean. And feel free to keep yourself muted, but just to chant along with me. I would appreciate your company as we pay homage to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. And now we'll go for the refuges, taking a moment maybe to again connect with the meanings of the Pali terms that we'll chant together. Buddham saranam gacchami. Dhammam saranam gacchami. Sangham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami. Dutiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddham saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammam saranam gacchami. Tatiyampi Sangham saranam gacchami. Thank you. And Inez will lead us in the precepts.
Central to this Dharma practice is a dedication to non-harming. When we live our lives based on non-harming, on kindness to everyone, including ourselves, it gives us a sense of integrity. We feel blameless. When we're deeply honest and live our lives dedicated to goodwill and non-harming, we not only create harmony in our lives, that we deepen our trust in ourselves. When our actions of body, speech, and thought are based on kindness, it just naturally increases our ability to be happy and at ease. we often hurt others or hurt ourselves because we're attached to what we want or what we don't want, even when we're doing it subconsciously. When we don't follow the guidance of the five precepts, we're actually practicing attachment and clinging. This practice can only grow deeply when there's a deep commitment to non-harming. These five precepts are intricately woven in Dharma practice. Over the years, the intention for non-harming has become more and more central in my own life, in my own practice. And they've just gradually continued to deepen and grow in me. So at the beginning of a retreat, we traditionally connect with this dedication to non-harming by reciting the five precepts. The first is to refrain from killing. I like to include and to act with reverence to all forms of life. This connects me with my heartfelt wish to treat all living beings with care. The second is to refrain from taking that which is not given. For me, it includes appreciating what we receive. In daily life, I like to expand that to include doing my best to protect the environment and trying to use resources well and not taking them from future generations. The third is to refrain from sexual misconduct. For this retreat, it means not participating in any sexual activity during the retreat. In daily life, it refers to respecting this energy and not causing harm with it. The fourth is to refrain from lying and to speak truthfully. I like to include to speak kindly. For this retreat, it means maintaining noble silence and speaking only as needed. For some of you who live with others right now, this might look a bit different than on a residential retreat. But I think it's helpful to remember that being kind is more important than being silent. And the fifth is to refrain from intoxicants that cloud the mind. It can be helpful during the retreat when, if we're tempted by devices, to consider them as common intoxicants, the addictive quality that keeps us from having a clear mind and a peaceful heart. So we ask you to verbally agree to these five precepts for the duration of the retreat. On residential retreat, we speak the precepts with call and response, as Tanya said. But it doesn't work so well in Zoom. So everyone will stay muted. And I'll share screen with you. And so you can do them alongside me. For the duration of this retreat, and please say them out loud in your own space. And just we'll do it at the same time. I agree to refrain from taking life. For the duration of this retreat, I agree to refrain from taking that which is not given. For the duration of this retreat, I agree to refrain from sexual activity. For the duration of this retreat, I agree to maintain noble silence and to speak only when needed. For the duration of this retreat, I agree to refrain from taking intoxicants. And let's sit for a few minutes. feel free to continue practicing the hall or the walking meditation or have a cup of tea or go to bed early for some of you. Sleep well, and we'll see you in the morning. And I hope you appreciate the silence that has begun. Thank you.